Begin the Karen Dam Sech, the Sukkah Dafyud base. We begin two lines down from the top of the Yamud. The Gemara continues the discussion with the previous staff. And that is our previous Mishnah defined the criteria that's necessary to be kosher schach for a Sukkah. One is that it should not be able to be Mekabel Tumma, and the other one is that it should be Gidulim in the Arad that grows from the ground. Now the Gemara in the previous staff explained that what's the source for this halacha. So that's from a pasuk that says, Ve'edialim in the Arad, the Sukkah that we sit in is supposed to remind us of the Anani HaKavod, the clouds of glory that we sat in the times of the desert. L'man yedu derisechem kibas sukkah seshafti. We should recall those days. Just like there, it was made out of clouds, and clouds are things that yalam and aretz, the mist, so to speak, grows from the ground, and it's not does not contract tumah. So to our sukkah's schach, the covering, should not be able to mekabel tumah. And that the Gemara said, that's fine and well, according to the Mandama who holds that the sukkahs were actually clouds of glory. There's another opinion that holds that they weren't clouds, they were actually huts. And therefore, according to that opinion, how do we know that the sukkahs were not made out of schach, that are things that were mekabel tumah, like garments and kelim? So that the Gemara attempted to bring a raya from comparing chag ha-sukkah, karmel chagiga, to a sukkah. Just like a chagiga, an animal, is something that's not mekabel tumah when it's alive, and also it's something that grows from the ground on some level that it's nourished from the ground. I think Gemara said, if that's where the source was, then we should actually have animals that are alive on the roofs of our sukkah to be sukkahs, just like it says that the karmel chagiga, which is an animal, so too should the sukkah, and that's not the case, as we know. So if the Gemara says, rather, Kiyasa Ravin, when Ravin came, Amr Rabbi Yechanan Makrai, he said the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that it's based on the Pasuk, in Devar Mepek Te Zayin Pasuk Yud Gimel, that says, it starts off the Pasuk, Chag HaSukkah is Tasalacha, Shivas Yamim, that the Yamd of Sukkahs you should make for yourself 7 days. And the Pasuk says that it should be Ba'aspacha Migarncha Miyikvecha, that it should be when you gather from your threshing floor and from your wine vat. Now, the literal translation is that when you're gathering, which is the time of Sukkahs, when they would gather in all the crop, that time, by the threshing floor and the wine vat, that's when the Yom Tov Sukkah should be. However, the drush of the Gemara is, actually, Ba'aspacha means to say, from the things that you gather from the threshing floor and the wine vat. That's how what you should make the Sukkahs out of, which is B'psoilis Gairin, from the refuse, from that which is gathered from the threshing floor, which is a reference to straw, the yekev, and that which is gathered from the floor of the wine vat, which are the vines and the empty clusters, that is what Hakas Medaber, that's what the Pasuk is telling you that you should make the sukkah out of, which those items are things that grow from the ground and are not mekabel tumah. Now the Gemara asks on this pshat, Ve'eme garin atzmoy, if you're just reading the Pasuk and even the drush of the Pasuk, let us say that it's the gairin itself, which means to say, yes, the straw together with the grain, the yekev atzmoy, and the clusters with the grapes, which the food item is something that's mekabel tumah. So how do we know? Yes, it should be the sukkah should be made out of the things that are gathered from the threshing floor. Now, you don't have just the leftover, which is these empty clusters and the straw. You also have on the threshing floor, what you have is the actual grain itself, the actual grapes itself. So how do we know that it cannot be made with food items, which are things that are mekabel tumah, and they're also by garin and yekev? So Amar Rav Zera says that yekev ksev kan. The pasuk says it's from the threshing floor and it's from the vat. Now, the vat is that part of the process which is after it's turned into wine. Now, v'yef shlesachach boy, you cannot make a roof out of wine. It's a liquid. It wouldn't stay there in one place. Hence, since it's at the process, it's at the stage of yekev, must be what are you taking from the yekev to be able to make a roof out of? Must be the leftover after you finish with the wine. There's the empty clusters. Those are the things which similar would be by gurin. The leftovers from what you take out the grain out of, which is the straw, that's what you would use it, again, which has these two criteria of that it grows in the ground and it's not mekabel tumah. Now, Maskel Rabbi Yirmiya, however, Rabbi Yirmiya asked on this haychacha, this proof that we're talking about, the psoilis, the refuse, not the actual grain or the wine itself. The eme yain kar shabba misner. Maybe it is wine at the stage of yakev. Now, how are you going to put a roof out of wine? It's the congealed wine that came from this place called Sneer, which is similar to the cakes of pressed figs that they used to have in the times of the Gemara, which they used to congeal the wine. It would be like a jello, and therefore it was something that you could actually make a roof out of. So how are you going to prove in the pasuk that it must be talking about the psoilis and not the wine itself? It's not true. Based on just the drasha the exposition of the pasuk itself, you could say that actually make a sukkah out of everything that was there by the yekev, which is not only the psoilus, but also the wine itself. Now, although that's highly unlikely, but it could be done. Hence, now to meet that criteria is not that it shouldn't be mekabel tumah, because wine is a beverage which is mekabel tumah, and therefore maybe our sukkahs only need to have gedulim in the aretz, and not that it shouldn't be mekabel tumah. So Amar Bezer, Bezer said in regards to this question that was asked, that Rabbi Yirmiyahu had said, Hamil sahav b'yad, and he says, look, we had this answer. In other words, up until he came along, we thought we had the pshat of our Mishnah from this pasuk that it must be talking about the psoilus, because you cannot make a roof out of wine. Rabbi Yirmiyahu came along and he threw an axe into it, which is that he mentioned to us this concept that it's not so obvious, it's not necessarily the case, because you can make the wine that comes from snir, which is solidified, and you can make a roof out of it. And therefore, what essentially they were saying, that he threw an axe into it, was that he has a good answer to Araya. There's no proof from that pasuk. However, if Ashi Amar, he says that it's not true. From the pasuk, you could see clearly that it's reference to the psoilus. Because it says that when you gather migarncha from your threshing floor. Now, the inference of the pasuk is that this is something that you gather from the garin, v'loy garin atzmar, but not the threshing floor itself. In other words, the threshing floor is a reference to the food items. Now, what you gather ba'aspecha, what you're going to gather and pluck out from what's left over that is the psoilus. Similar miyakvecha, from your wine vat, v'loy yikav atzmar, not the wine vat itself. It's only what's left over, what's the remainder, that's what we're saying is the straw, and that's the empty clusters, because or else it wouldn't say mi yikvecha, it would say yikvecha, it'd say garncha from the mem, is saying that it's the leftovers, that's there, what you're gathering, what's left over. That's how we know it's a reference to these items, which are growing from the ground, and are not makabatum, because these are not edible food items. So that's the second source for this halacha of these two criteria. The first one was regards to those who hold anane kavod, which a cloud has these two criteria. The second source is ba'aspecha migrancha miyekvecha. Now, Rav Chisda Amahacha, he brings a different source for this halacha, a pasuk in Nechemia. Now, this pasuk is talking about regarding making sukkahs. And if one looks at the pasuk, it's only mentioned things that are not makabel tumah and grow from the ground. And this is our source that we see that a sukkah has to be made from these two components. Where the pasuk says, Suhahar, go out to the mountains, Ve'viu, and go bring ali zayis, olive leaves, va'ali eit shemen, and the leaves of the oil tree, va'ali hadis, the leaves of the myrtle, va'ali tamarim, and the leaves of the palm, va'ali eitz avos, and the leaves of the braided tree. And therefore we see all the animals mentioned were things that grow from the ground, and not makabel tumah, so this is a source that a sukkah has to have these criteria. However, parenthetically, the Gemara asks on that pasuk, hainu hadis, hainu eitz avos. They're both a reference to the same tree, to the same branch, to the same leaf. Why is it mentioning each one individually? But hadas is eitz avos. And the reason why a hadas is called the plated tree, the plated branch, is because the leaves are plated in the sense that each one is one on top of the other, like braids and like a chain. So why is it calling it two different terms as if it's two different things? That Rav Chisda says, hadas shaita, which literally means a dysregulated hadas, which means to say that when it's not fit to be kosher for a lulav, because its pleats, its braiding is not perfect as our hadasim are supposed to be three on each stem and then continuing along three and three, it has two and one and it's not a perfect three, that was which was called hadas, that was lesukkah. That was to be used for a sukkah because you could cover your sukkah with hadasim because it grows from the ground and it's not mekabel tumah. The eitz avos, the term eitz avos was a reference to lulav, that's when it's perfectly braided, plaited, the three leaves on each one, on the same part of the stem. That's the idea why I gave a different definition, because it was in reference, one was to using it for a sukkah, which is not kosher for lulav, and eitz avos was a reference to using it for the lulav. Now the Gemara continues after we just found three different sources for this halacha of the schach. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, and continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is talking about invalid schach, invalid coverings for the sukkah. So the Mishnah tells us, chavile kash, bundles of straw, the chavile etzim, bundles of wood, the chavile zrodim, and bundles of cane, which is a type of reed which they would make out of that, the cane. Eimesachim hen, one is not allowed to make schach out of these items when they're tied together, which the Gemara will explain the reason for this. However, kulin shetir, and all these items, the straw, the wood, and the cane, when they're untied, then kosher is their kosher because they're not makabel tumah and they grow from the ground. The only problem is the fact that they're bundled together. Now, the Mishnah tells us that bakulon, all the items we've been mentioning that are invalid to be used as schach, however, all of them are kosher l'dfanas. they're all valid to be used as the walls. That is because every time the Torah writes the word sukkah, really it's a reference to the schach, because the walls are not actually called from they don't have the term of the sukkah. And this, that it says earlier on the Avavim Abayis, that we learned out how many walls are necessary to have in the sukkah from the terms basukas, 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 that's not because the word itself connotes the walls. Sukkah is really only the schach. When it says you have to make Tasav Leben Aster, for example, we're saying you have to make the sukkah, it's only the schach that has the name sukkah, and it's Shir Schach Sukkah. The walls are only being learned out from the extra terms that the pasuk uses to say sukkah, but not from the actual literal understanding of the word itself. And therefore, when it says that the sukkah should be made, that's going in reference to the sukkah, which is the schach, but the walls can be made out of anything. It doesn't need to be made out of the same items that the schach has to be made out of. Now, regarding the halachas of our Mishnah, the Gemara says, Amar Biyakim, Biyakim said, Shamet mineid Rabbi Yechonon Tarte. I learned from Rabbi Yechonon two halachas, two elucidations of the halachas that we learned in our Mishnahis. Chadaha, one is the explanation of our Mishnah, which it said that regarding the bundles of these things that are kosher schach, why can you not use them as schach when they're bundled together? V'idach, and the other one was a Mishnah later on, Taftas Vavam and Aleph, that said, Hachaitit begodish lasas le'sukah. If someone digs out in a pile of sheaves to go ahead and make a sukkah, which is he takes out bundles from the bottom, which are closer to the ground, and thereby going in and digging out a hole that's the size of what a requisite share of a sukkah has to be, and then by default you just have indirectly made a sukkah, not by actually making the walls and the roof, just by digging out what's inside, that there the halacha is in the sukkah. Rabbi Yochanan explained me that reason too. Now he told me that the reasons for these two halachas of these two mishnayas, chada is mishum gezeres aitzer, one of them is because of a isidra ban of a decree of utilizing an aitzer. Now aitzer literally means a storage room, which min ha-Torah would be kosher, one of these halachas, but which is either the case of our Mishnah of the bundles or later on when you're digging out inside that pile of sheaves. But the Rabbanan made a gzeira and said, if we're going to allow this to be done, which we're not clear again which halacha this was said in regards, but then no one's going to make a sukkah. Rather, everyone's going to go and eat and sleep in their eitzer, in their storehouse, in a place where they don't use the whole entire year, which was already made from beforehand. And the explanation we're giving now is an assumption about what does it mean, Gezeres Eitzer. Ultimately, we will change the definition of what does this mean, Gezeres Eitzer. But now the Gemara is not clear. Rabbi Yaakov didn't know which halacha did Rabbi Yechonon say it regarding. So his understanding of Gezeres Eitzer was that if one has already a freestanding sukkah that was not made for the purpose of being a sukkah for shade, that it should even have the definition of sukkah itself, as we had already explained in the previous daf, that a sukkah doesn't have to be made l'shem chag sukkahs, according to Beis Hillel, but it has to at least have been made for the purpose of shade. If it wasn't even made for that, then it's just like a regular house. So one of these are forbidden because if we allow to use such a sukkah, you might come to just sit in a regular storage house, which was never intended for the purpose of shade. B'chada, and one of them, of these two Mishnayis, Rabbi Yechon explained to me that actually it's possible min ha-Torah. Mishum tasav lemin asa, because of the invalidating factor of that you have to make the sukkah, not that it should be made indirectly by doing something else. Now, Rabbi Yaakov says, v'lo yida ha-minayu, I don't know which one is the one that Rabbi Yechon told me is the reason, mishum aitzer, that it's because of this gezer d'rabban that you might come to use an oitzer, a storage house. And which one is the biblical iser, because it's you're not making it, it's just being made. So that was what he said. He said over these two Mishnahs, Rabbi Yechon explained to me, one has one reason, one has the other. He's not clear which one. So Amar Birmiya, he says, look, let's see, and we'll be able to understand from a different statement Rabbi Yechon says, to infer what does he mean with the two statements that you're saying over in his name. We know Rabbi Yechonon said the following halacha. He says, "Memneima amru." Why did we say the halacha of our Mishnah that says chavili kash, bundles of straw, v'chavili eats and bundles of wood, v'chavili zrodim and bundles of cane, a mesachem mehem? You can't go ahead and cover a sukkah with them. Why? There are things that are makab, they're not makabel tum, and they grow from the ground. What's wrong? So that Rabbi Yechonon said, "Pa'amim sha'adim ba min asad be'er." It can happen that if somebody throughout the summer months, someone will come home from working out in the fields in the evenings, and he has his bundle on his shoulder, and he goes and he heaves it up and he puts it up on top of the sukkah. And that's because throughout the rest of the year he gives these to his animals, and he leaves the bundles over there. Now, he's leaving it there, kedei liyavsha, to dry it out. Now, he's not putting it there for the purpose of schach. It's just that he's putting it there because he wants it to dry it out. Now, however, once it reaches time for sukkahs, v'nimel chalel l'sichach, he says, you know what? I already put this on there, already dried up. Let's just leave it there. It's great. It's good that I had left it there. I forgot all about it. Let's use it as schach. The Torah tells you, tasa, you have to make the sukkah, not something that was made invalid. And this one was never put on top of the sukkah for the intention for it to be schach. It wasn't even made for the purpose of it to be regular shade to then provide shelter from the sun for someone that's sitting inside there. He had just thrown it up on top just to let it dry it out. It was the perfect place. Everyone's looking for a place where to hang their jacket. So he was looking where to put his schach, so he just dumped it up there to dry up. Now, that doesn't have a term, a shame of sukkah on that. As we said, it has to have been made with its original construction for the purpose of providing tzel. Now, therefore, Rabbi Yechon said, an explanation about Mishnah, the Rabbanan made a gzeira, never to go ahead and make schach to cover a sukkah with bundles, even if you're putting it up with the intention, it's Erev sukkah, you're putting it up to make a schach for a sukkah, and that's a decree, it's a gezerah, because of putting up bundles throughout the rest of the year, which that would be pasul min ha-tayra, because that would be a problem of tasa b'leim na'asim, because even if you later say, hey, let me use this, that would already be indirectly making it, but that wouldn't have been with the original construction for that purpose. Now, so obviously, that the reason of our Mishnah here is the reason of the Eitzer Hu, and rabbinically, now like as Rashi explains, he says, although originally we were explaining that the Gezerah Eitzer meant to say you might dwell in the Eitzer, because that's the way we were able to understand what would it mean rabbinically, a Gezerah Eitzer. Now what it means is, according to the Maskana of the Gemara, is anything that a person sets aside and he wants it to stay there for a long period of time, that's called Eitzer, where you're storing it. Now the bundles that a person puts throughout the summer months to keep it for the winter, that's called Eitzer. Now hence, that's what our Mishnah was saying, that in the case of bundles, we never let you use it. Why? What do you mean? It's Erev Sukkot, you're putting it on there, it's not Makabel Tumah, it grows on the ground. Yeah, but if we let you put on bundles, it happens a lot of times, if people are working out in the fields, they have the bundles on their shoulder, they throw it up on the top. Now, he might end up leaving it there. And if we let bundles, he say, great, I have a sukkah ready made, I don't have to go ahead and be busy, Erev Sukkot. Now, that's going to be possible in our Torah. We make Yisur Rabbanan not to come to Yisur Deraisa. And therefore we say, look, we're never going to let bundles, so we don't come to this Psul Deraisa of someone after the fact saying, hey, let me go ahead and use this, which would be a Psul Deraisa of Tasum Leminasir. So now based on this, the Gemara says, this is what he was telling to Rabbi Yaakov. He says, Medaha Mishum Gezeris Eitzer, from the fact that the case of our Mishnah, as we just explained, Rabbi Yochanan says clearly, is it Yisur Rabbanan, because you might come to use, when we say Eitzer, the one that was left there just to keep it to dry out, and not with the intention of using it as Schach or even as Sel. That's the understanding of our Mishnah. So then, that what by default you have to say that the other case that he explained to you regarding digging out by that pile of straw must be that's the one that's pasul mideraisa mishum tasav leman also, that it should, that you have to make it and not be made by itself, because we see clearly by Rabbi Yechanan that he said that one of them is psul deraisa, one's psul derabanan. Our Mishnah says clearly, someone else quoted him saying is rabbinically possible because of Gzeiras Eitzer. Must be the other Mishnah later on is because of psul deraisa of tasav leman asoy, by digging out, you're not going to be making the sukkah, it's going to be indirectly made. Now the Gemara says, however, Biakiv, now the reason why he didn't know to explain which one was the one that psul mideraisa or which one's psul derabanan is because this statement that was quoting explicitly that Rabbi Yechanan said that our Mishnah was derabanan, obviously the other one's deraisa, leishmile, he didn't hear that statement, that saying in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, therefore he didn't know which one is which. Now the Gemara asks as follows, I'm Ravashi. Ravashi asked on Rabbi Yaakov, he says, Atu, now is it really true that these two reasons are not applicable by both Mishnayos? So basically he's saying that, look, one is going to be the deraisa of Tasav Leim Na'asli, the other one is the Gzeir Drabanan of Gzeir Sa'itzer. Now he just wasn't sure which one was which, and then the Gemara has proven from one of the statements which is which. But on that, Rav Ashi is asking Rabbi Yaakov, what do you mean? Each one could have both the deraisa and the Drabanan of Gzeir Sa'itzer, as he illustrates. He says, what do you mean? Chavili kash, bundles of straw. But chavili eats and bundles of what? Mishum gezeris eitzer ikka? You're telling me, as we were just clarifying now, that there's only a rabbinic iser, that we have this concern that you might just intend to just have it dry out, and although you're actually doing it now, l'shem sukkah, but that's the gezer d'abanan of the case of when you didn't intend that, then, but mishum tasav leman asa, but regarding it being pasam deraisa, this case of our Mishnah, if one word wanted to say that it's being deraisa, that it's only being indirectly made leka, that would not be applicable. In other words, can't you also say that our Mishnah is talking about a case of when you actually put on the bundles of straw and wood throughout the summer months so that you should just leave it to dry out? And then later on, when they came around Sukkah's time, then he said, you know what, hey, wait a second, I could use this as a Sukkah. Where that itself would be a psul deraisa of Tasim Lemon Asoi. So from where did Rabbi Yechanan see, which is what Rabbi Yaakov is saying over in his name, that our Mishnah is not talking about biblically a psul, that it's only the rabbinical decree? Maybe the case of our Mishnah is also talking about psul deraisa, because it's talking about a case when you actually meant to just have it dry out. Moreover, the other Mishnah, regarding the case when someone digs out inside this whole pile, you're telling me that that's a psul deraisa of because it's indirectly being made. Mishum gzeris oitzer leka. There's no rabbinic problem of gzeris oitzer. In other words, couldn't we say the same theory that that Rabbi Yochanan says regarding our Mishnah, where although deraisa is kosher, but we make a gzeir d'rabanan because of a case when you didn't do it l'shem sukkah, and not even l'shem tzel, but you did it just to dry it out. Couldn't we say the same situation regarding the case of the gadish, of the pile of the straw? In other words, and we would say that as follows. We would say that even if somebody demolishes the roof of that dug, that so to speak, igloo type, where you just dug out inside, and you have then by default the sukkah, where he pushed up all the bundles that are on top, which are, so to speak, the schach of this sukkah, and then he put it back for the purpose of it being a sukkah, couldn't we say that the Mishnah later on was saying that's still going to be pasul midrabbanan because of this, quote, gzeiras ha'itzer? Because sometimes you're not going to shake the top of those piles of sheaves, and it's going to be made by itself, and therefore we could say the same theory we said by the bundles, where we said that it's going to be pasul midrabbanan even when you're putting it for the purpose of schach erev, because you're putting up these bundles. We're saying that it's not going to be kosher midrabbanan because of gezeira, that you might come to use the ones which were left throughout from the rest from the holy summer months when they were drying out, which are tasav lemon asli. So therefore, you could say that same gezeira of oitzer by the case of the gedish of when you're drawing out, even when you are shaking it, which should be kosher, but you might come to do it even in the case when you don't. So the question that's being asked is, from where did Rabbi Yochanan infer that to say that our Mishnah is talking about a rabbinic problem, and that Mishnah is talking about a biblical problem, could have easily just said the reverse. Each one is really appropriate to say derais or drabban. So how does he know that our Mishnah is the drabbanan problem, or the gzeiras oitzer? If you could say it's the deraisa problem also, that it's actually talking about the bundles that were being used to dry out. And that Mishnah too, who said that's a biblical problem? Tasam and also, maybe it's actually talking about a case when you popped up the roof, you shook it, hence you made a new asiyah, so it's not tasam and also. But rabbinically, we don't let you do that because you might come to do it in the case when you don't shake it, which is the gzeiras oitzer. So that the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yochanan Melech, he would tell you that the Mishnayis themselves are meduyik the way he's saying it, as follows, because hacha in our Mishnah, when it talks about the bundles of straw and the wood, the ketani, the terminology being used is ein mesachim hen. You're not allowed to go ahead and cover it with such bundles. Now that terminology sounds like liket chilahu. It's only when initially one is coming to come ahead and do that, we continue on Tamid Beis, the ein mesachim, that then you cannot go ahead and do that and cover it with such a schach. That would be Mishum Gzeiras Ha'itzer. When you're coming to say that only initially one cannot do something, that would be on the rabbinic level. We say we don't want you to do that, and that's because, as we said, because of the decree that you might come to do it even for a case which is Tasav Lemon also, when you didn't plan on using it for Sukkahs. Now, it doesn't say, however, and this is the Deek of Rabbi Yechanan, in our Mishnah, that ain't a Sukkah, that it's not a Sukkah, which is Mashmah HaDeiraisa Shabbadami, that biblically it is a good Sukkah. It's just, rabbinically, we don't want you to use it. And therefore, obviously, that our Mishnah was talking about that you did place it for it to be schach. And therefore, it's only rabbinically that we say that we don't want you to do that. Because you might come to do it even when you didn't do it, l'shem schach. But obviously, we're not talking about that when you had done it earlier in the year, where you had no intention whatsoever, which is a psul deraisa, because then it wouldn't just say, ein mesachim, and we would say, ein sukkah. Even after the fact, it's not good. Whereas Hassam, over there, the Mishnah later on, by digging out by the pile of the straw, the terminology being used is ein sukkah, it's not a sukkah, which is mashma, it's totally not a sukkah. That sounds like afil di'evit, even after the fact, That must be because midiraisa nami in the sukkah, that even biblically it's not a sukkah. And therefore must be talking about that when you didn't shake the roof of that made out by default sukkah, when you didn't shake the schach for the purpose of sukkah, and that would be because actually we would not make exes eitzer over there, as Rabbi Yochanan is saying. It's only when it's biblically a problem of tasva and the usher we say it's puzzle. But if one would shake it, this is what the Meskan of the Gemara is saying, then we would say it's actually going to be kosher. Because if his whole intention is coming to fix it by shaking it, we're not going to make it the exerit to say that he's going to come, go ahead and do it. Where he's even coming to fix it, most definitely next time, he's not going to come and do it initially to dig out. And therefore, there we're not even going to make the exeris eitrin. And that's where Rabbi Yochanan said that our Mishnah is rabbinically, and there's deraisa because of the terminology of the Mishnah actually indicates that one is talking about only the ketchila, and the Mishnah there is talking about b'di'evit after the fact. Now, related to different items that are kashra for schach, the Gemara tells us, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Merav, sichacha b'chitzin. If someone used a schach with the base yad, the handle, which is the shaft of arrows, if he used that, which is basically the piece of wood that goes into the arrow itself that's shot out of the bow, now it depends what type of shaft he used to use a schach. If it's scharim, if it's the male ones, which basically means to say that it has the protrusion, it gets stuck into the hole that's in the arrow itself, then kashera. Then the shaft is going to be kosher, because although it's a kli, this shaft, but it's what's called pshute kliates, which means to say that it's flat, it has no receptacle, therefore, since it grows from the ground, and it's not makabotumah because it's flat, it has to have a receptacle to be makabotumah, that's the two criteria to be kosher for schach. But the kavis, however, if it's the female version of a shaft, which means to say that the shaft itself has the hole, and the arrow part of it has a protrusion that sticks into the hole that's in the shaft itself, then it has a receptacle. Now, a piece of wood that has a receptacle is considered a kli, hence it's fit to be mekabel tuma, and that would disqualify it as being used as schach, and therefore psula, that's going to be puzzle. Now, the Gemara asks on both his halachas, that they both seem to be obvious. Scharm ksheri pshita, what do you mean? The male version, the one that does not have a receptacle, that's pretty obvious that it would be kosher to be used as schach because it grows on the ground and it has no kli kibble, no receptacle, hence not makabel tuma. So that the Gemara says, Mao de tamen nigzus charmot in the kavas, we would have thought to say that we should make exer drabanan and not allow the one type of shafts because you might use the other types, which has a receptacle, which is makabel tomo. Kamash Mulan, that was the chiddush that we don't make such a exer. We allow the male version and not the female version because that one does not have a klik kibble and that one does have. Now, Amamad, one of the things he says was the other was b'nekeva psula. The female version, the one that has the receptacle, is going to be invalid. So that's pretty obvious. So it's makabel tuma. What's the chiddush? And that the Gemara says, Ma'ad tema base kibul ha'asu l'malos. I would have thought to say that although the shaft has a receptacle, has a place to accept something else, but it's meant to be always closed up, to be always full, that you never take out the arrow from the shaft. It's just in its construction, it's made that way. Then I would have thought to say, however, that loish may kibul, that's not considered something that has a receptacle. Receptacle means to say it could contain things. This cannot contain because it's always filled up. Although its structure of itself is made like that, but that does not consider it as a kli kibul. Kamashpon, that's the chiddush, that although it's meant to be always plugged in, but since it has that receptacle part, therefore that would invalidate it to be used as schach because it is mekabel tuma. Now, related to these, the Gemara says that Amar Rabbi Bachana Amar Yechanan. So essentially what he was saying in the name of Rabbi Yechanan was that I heard three halachas from Rabbi Yechanan regarding pishdan, flax. Now, two of them he explained, and the third one he said he doesn't know. So he said as follows, Sicha banitze pishdan. And this is obviously related to the halacha of what we said, the criteria is that it has to grow from the ground, which flax does. However, there's another criteria of that it cannot be makabel tuma, which will depend on what stage of the processing of the flax it is, to know if it's makabel tuma and hence invalid eschach or not makabel tuma because it's earlier stage, it wasn't yet processed, and then kosher eschach. So he said, if sicha banitze pishtan, if someone uses for eschach the bundles of combed flax, which that is at the last stage when it's already been whitened after that it was already beaten, which was taken apart, first it has to be soaked, then it has to be beaten to pull apart the fibers, then it has to be combed, and then it's whitened. that if someone already has kohen flax, that psula, that's going to be invalid to be used as schach, because that's something that's fit to be makabel tumah, specifically the tumah of negoyim, which the Gemara explains in Masechet Shabbos of Chavzayim and Beis. Hence, since it could contract tumah of negoyim, therefore it's not kosher to be used as schach. Now, the other end of the spectrum, behutznei pishtan, which is unprocessed flax, which that's when it's still in its stalks, which as it grows, it wasn't even soaked yet in the liquid, which is prepares it then yet to be beaten and then to be combed, wasn't even soaked, then kasher it. That's going to be kosher to be used as schach, because it's not makabel tumah yet, it wasn't yet processed, and it grows from the ground, that will be kosher schach. However, vahushni pishtan, which is somewhere in the middle, which is partially processed flax, that on Rabbi Yechonah says, any day o mahu. So that I don't know the halacha, if that will be kosher, because it's not considered something that's makabel tumah, or if it's going to be pasul. Now, on that, Rabbi Baba Chana himself said, who he was saying over this halacha, and then Rabbi Yechonah, he says, vahushni atzman any day. He says, I myself don't know what Rabbi Yechonah referred to when he used the term hushni, this middle stage. In other words, manavshach. He says, I didn't know what it is that he wants to say to explain, which he's not clear if this is going to be considered the processed or the unprocessed. In other words, idayik, was he saying that it was beaten already with the machteshes, with the mortar, but v'loy nafitz, it just wasn't combed yet with a comb? And that is hushni karili. That's what he was calling this middle stage of partially processed. And then that he said he doesn't know the halacha, if it's kosher pasul. But the inference of that would be, avotari b'loy doik, but if it was soaked and it wasn't beaten yet, then that hutznik correlate. That he would call the lowest stage, he would call that unprocessed flax. Just like the case of when it wasn't soaked and it wasn't beaten and it's going to be kosher, here also it's going to be considered unprocessed even though it was soaked, and because it's not makabel tumah, and therefore it would be kosher eschach. Oy dilma, or maybe he wasn't sure, that tari b'loy doik, even if it was soaked, but it wasn't beaten, nami hushni karle. Maybe that's also called hushni, and maybe that's also was part of his suffix, part of his doubt, and it wasn't so obvious to him that that would be kosher. The only case that it was obvious to him that that would be kosher would be when it wasn't even soaked and wasn't beaten. That would be considered hutzni. So basically, he was saying over from Rabbi Yechonah three halachas, but the middle halacha he himself didn't know which one did that include. So if it's totally processed, pasul. If it's totally unprocessed, it wasn't even soaked, then it's kosher. Rabbi Yechonah wasn't sure about the middle stage, but on that, Rabbi Chana says, I don't know what the middle stage was. Is the middle stage only when it was beaten, but it wasn't then combed with a flax? That would be considered, in his doubt, that maybe that's going to be considered processed enough to be makabel tumah. However, if it was just soaked and it wasn't beaten, that for sure would not be considered processed, and therefore would be kosher. Or did he even include this hushni, this middle category, even if it was just soaked and it wasn't beaten, just the soaking itself would already be considered part of the process, that he was in doubt that maybe that would be makabel tumah and hence invalid to be used as schach. Now, related to this, Amar Rehuda says, Hani shushi, these ferns, ushvatzre, and which these are types of different types of herbs. So he says, mesachin behu. So you can use these things as schach, again, because it grows from the ground, and it's not makabel tumah. And the reason why it's not makabel tumah is because it's not edible for people. Hence, that qualifies in both criteria. Now, Abaya argues and he says, b'shushi mesachin, yet with ferns, one could go ahead and use a schach, but b'shvatzu loy mesachin. Now, my time, what's the reason for that discrepancy? And the reason is, kivin, that we continue on top of your gilam and aleph, disori richayu, since it has a bad smell, then shavik lov enafik. We're concerned that the person is going to leave and walk out of the sukkah, and therefore we don't qualify that as kosher schach, because we're concerned that a person is not going to stay there, and that's why we don't let you make a sukkah out of those things. Now, similar to that, the Gemara brings a similar type of discussion, Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava, Hani Hizmi, these brambles, vihigi, and these types of thorn bushes, these types of bushes, of snare, mesachin, who one can go ahead and make schach out of them. However, Bayama, he argues, and he says, Behizmi mesachin, yes, with the brambles you can go ahead and make schach, but behigi le mesachin, but with those thorn bushes you cannot. Now, my time, what's the reason for the higi not to be valid? And that he says, similar type of svar, which is a very practical svar, that kibin the nasi tarfayu, since their leaves constantly fall off, shavik love enough, a person's going to leave the sukkah and walk out because he can't sit in the sukkah with this constantly falling down on him, on his head when he's trying to eat and sleep, therefore he's going to leave. So again, that's the same type of machlekes that we have by both cases, where Abaya says, although halachically, you're right. It grows from the ground. It's not makabel tuma, but one of them it smells, and one of them the leaves constantly fall down, and therefore we don't let you use those things for schach, because a person's not going to stay there and remain in this dira for 7 days. He's just going to walk out and leave, and therefore we don't let you use that as schach.